This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Every time you pay sales tax in San Antonio, you are chipping in to fund pre-K for SA. So what are you getting for your sales tax, and do you think that's a deal? Well, now we're getting information about how pre-K for SA is changing the lives of these young students. And we're going to have a chance in San Antonio to vote again in 2020 whether to re-up that sales tax commitment. You can call in with your questions and comments as we talk about evidence-based examination of pre-K for SA. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at tpr.org. And we're joined this afternoon with Sarah Barlay. She is the Chief Executive Officer for Pre-K for SA. Sarah, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And also with us is Mike Villarreal, Director of the Urban Education Institute at the University of Texas at San Antonio. And people may remember you, Mike Villarreal, as a former state representative.
Great to be back.
And when you were a former rep, you made your bones in Austin fighting for education as well.
That's right. I focused on education policy because I'm from San Antonio, where we care about our children.
Right. Okay. And again, the number is 210-614-8980. Let's get to the evidence-based examination of pre-K for SA. I think everyone pretty much knows what pre-K for SA is in San Antonio. It's this city-orchestrated program funded through sales tax, looking for children to give them full-time, high-quality pre-K education opportunities. And when this was proposed, this was ambitious, and it wasn't really clear how this would impact. A lot of planning, a lot of expectations. But now we have evidence. And so, Mike, you did the research?
That's right.
Okay, so tell me about this. What did you find?
So we wanted to know, we as in those who operate pre-K for SA, those that lead pre-K for SA, as Sarah does, and those in the education community up and down from our elementary schools to UTSA, we want to know what works for our students. And so our institute was engaged to examine what effect this campaign has had on encouraging enrollment in public pre-K community-wide, but also how has this impacted the students who went through its lab schools. And so we were able to follow the first cohort of students who participated in pre-K for SA lab schools from pre-K to kinder, to first, second, and third grade. Third grade is an important year because this is the first year that students take a state-mandated exam in reading and math. And we were able to compare their educational experience in these early grades, and particularly on those important state tests, to their classmates who did not participate in pre-K at all in any public form, and those who participated in the typical public pre-K program. And what we found, after controlling for differences in socioeconomics, demographics, family background, was that pre-K for SA produced a significant impact on a number of outcomes, from attendance, increasing attendance by 2%, decreasing placement in special education by over 3%, increasing test scores on reading and math, taking the group who participated in pre-K from an expected below state average to performing above the state average. These are important findings, both in terms of the child outcomes. We know that when children are supported in these early years, we set them on a trajectory that's upward bound for the rest of their educational experience. If we do well in these first years, we really do set the course for them going forward. And number two, the findings affirmed that we're making a difference for our education system. improving attendance is also a financial outcome. Increasing attendance by 2% means we're increasing the revenue that the state brings back to our schools by 2%. Decreasing placement in special education, of course, very important for the child, but also it's an added cost that school districts are not needing to invest in, and they can put those dollars in supporting the student on a different trajectory.
So, Sarah, as Chief Executive Officer of Pre-K for SA, these findings, I'm sure you had an idea that there was a positive outcome with these students, but did you know these specifics?
No, we didn't. So we've had annual independent evaluations of the children while they're at Pre-K for SA in one of our education centers, and we knew that year over year, our children were coming into Pre-K for SA below the national norm, and they are leaving Pre-K for SA well above the national norm in key indicators like cognition, literacy, mathematics. What we didn't know, however, was what happened after they left us and went into their kindergarten through third grade experience. So this study really helped to show that Pre-K for SA is having a lasting impact on the children who attend our centers. One of the challenges of early learning research is that it often shows that, yes, pre-K year is great, and then the results fade out by third grade. What this study shows is that the results are not fading out, and I really think that has to do with the comprehensive approach that San Antonio took to early learning.
Also, so a lot of questions. One of them, other children who don't go to pre-K, are they capable of catching up to the pre-K? Are the kids who go to pre-K just automatically going to be just two steps ahead of everyone else, or does that gap change, or what does that look like? Mike, any ideas?
What we see from the early data, and right now we've tracked students from pre-K through third grade, is that there's a gap. And as we continue to follow these students into the future, we're going to see if that gap widens or if it remains the same. What we do know is that third grade is a really pivotal year. It predicts how a student performs in middle school, which then predicts how a student performs in high school and so on.
You
and
lose
so
them
forth.
In middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we do. And there's also a big step off in that transition between middle and high school. But the point I'm trying to make is that we have actually created a framework to evaluate this important investment so that the citizens of San Antonio will be able to know how their money is being spent and how the effect is making a difference, not just on the front end, but as we continue to follow these students into adulthood.
Still, Pre-K for SA is a limited program. It's not across the board available to all children in San Antonio or across Texas. And if we're seeing such a dramatic advantage, a boost for the children who go through this program, why don't we make it more available? What's stopping us? What would it take to do that? We know that Texas made some pre-K of monies available in the last legislative session. What does that look like? Is that something that can be duplicate this? And we want to hear what our listeners have to say. The number is 210-614-8980. Did your children go through pre-K? 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. We're getting a progress report on Pre-K for SA. We're getting some studies, very particular study tracking children who have gone through Pre-K for SA, the first graduating class called the cohort, and how are they doing as they go through their academic career. And we're seeing, according to the research, that they're doing quite well compared to their contemporaries who didn't go through Pre-K for SA. Have someone in your family gone through Pre-K for SA? And the number is 210-614-8980. As a teacher, as a student, what did you see? What is your experience? experience, call in 210-614-8980. And Sarah Beret, as the Chief Executive Officer for Pre-K for SA, you get the data now, but did you have anecdotal stuff before where parents were coming to you and they kept keeping in track, keeping in touch with how things were going?
Sure. Our families are very supportive of the work that we're doing and a very important part of what we do. So we do keep track of our alumni family, as we call them. As a matter of fact, we're going to be having a family reunion this fall to bring everybody together, because our families, we want to be a resource for them even after pre-K, because as Dr. Villarreal said, it's really important that we continue to support the children beyond the pre-K year and continue to support their families all the way up through the system so that they can be successful, especially at those key junctures where we know sometimes children get off track in the education system.
And we do have a voicemail, and this is from Kat.
Hi, my name is Kat. My daughter attended the pre-K for St. North Center a couple years ago. And as a middle-class family, we didn't really feel we had many options for a good, high-quality pre-K program. We thought pre-K 4SA was for lower-income families, but then we found out that they actually reserve some spots that are paid spots on a sliding scale. And we were just so impressed with the quality of the curriculum and the care. It's play-based, so my daughter totally loved it. The staff was extremely professional. They taught her everything from social-emotional skills, such as getting along with others and sharing, to nutrition, as well as literacy and encouraging family involvement. So we can't praise the program highly enough.
All right, and that was from Kat on our voicemail line. So Mike Villarreal, as you look at the results, are y'all going to, is there an ability to try and figure out what is it about pre-K for SA that provides those results? Is it the rigor? Is it the caring environment? Is it the finger painting? What is it that makes it work?
That's an important question. This study lays the groundwork for evaluating outcomes. And Sarah has engaged others to improve and have a process of continuous improvement. But there will be other studies to try to dig inside of the black box to figure out what exact mechanisms inside are making a difference. What we can tell you from the data, tracking the 400 plus students in pre-K for SA in this first cohort and their classmates that are in the same third grade classrooms, adding another 10,000 students, is that the kids who went through pre-K for SA are experiencing a dramatic impact, beneficial impact on their learning and advancement. And we know from prior research that this is just the beginning. Early education pays off its biggest dividends later in life when the children are adults. And so these early findings are very affirming that we have made a really smart investment as a city of San Antonio, and that the positive ripples are still going to be coming forward as these children age.
So we want children to get from learning to read to reading to learn as soon as possible. And is having a boost like pre-K for SA, Sarah, that you're able to give children a head start towards understanding the process of reading, understanding that reading is beneficial, this is a positive investment in what you can do with yourself, and you can learn so much. And actually, a lot of kids, it takes them a while to figure that out. And I guess when you go to pre-K for SA, that's something you have to learn.
Right. And going back to what Kat was talking about, that we're a play-based program, and that's one of the reasons it works, because the research on early learning is very clear that the most important thing you can do in early learning programs is brain development. It's really not about learning ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. Those things come, but it's really about helping children develop strong brains, which then help to their academic learning later in the upper grades when they're learning much higher level content. content. And so we are very focused on doing what the research says works in the long term, which then leads to developing strong vocabularies, that experience with reading, with scientific thinking, with mathematical thinking, those early learning experiences which then help the children to accelerate much faster in the upper grades.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Chris. Hey, Chris, welcome to The Source. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much. I just want to say, so I come from a family of educators, so it's not a novel concept to me that you invest in young people and their futures are radically improved. I want to say that I applaud and completely support Pre-K for SA. My question comes, as we're talking about renewing the sales tax to support Pre-K for SA, and we're talking about data sets, is there any specific data or ideas that you've garnered that can learn about how to improve for specific aspects of Pre-K for SA to get even better results going forward?
All right, Chris, thank you for the call. So, Mike,
here
we are.
So there are a couple of things that we've learned that already kind of tell us something about what's going on with pre-K for SA that can be expanded to all pre-K programs. Number one, we know that full day matters. We compared the results of students who went through pre-K for SA, which is a full day program, to the typical public pre-K program, which in San Antonio is a half day program. There are some programs that are full day, but on average, the experience that children receive in a typical public pre-K program is actually a half-day program. And so that is a big difference. The second part that we learned to this is that there are particular students that benefit the most from public pre-K, and those are economically disadvantaged students and also students who are learning English as a second language. Right there, those three findings are instructive for really all school districts who want to see higher test scores in third grade and better attendance of their children. Invest early in full-day programs and be aggressive at outreaching to families who are economically disadvantaged, who maybe are not aware of your program, of your offerings, and certainly do a special outreach in a second language to reach those families who have children who are coming up and learning English as a second language.
But it seemed like pre-K for SA, the people who attend, this is a self-selecting set. These are people who have decided, I care about my child and I really am going to, I want to do the best I can for them, and I'm going to pursue pre-K for SA and get them in there because I know it's going to be good for them. So you have to wonder if we just make this widely available to everyone, this becomes the standard, if we're going to, you know, because you get so much at home, is it going to be the same sort of outcomes, Mike?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in doing education evaluation work, where we're focused on the outcomes, you know, did this intervention make a difference in, say, in this case, third grade reading and math scores? In another case, does it help children graduate from high school? Does it help them graduate from college? Whenever you're evaluating an education program, you have to deal with the challenge of self-selection, because education typically is voluntary. The interventions typically are voluntary. What we have benefited from in conducting this study is taking advantage of the state's longitudinal database system. So we actually have data on all of our public school students in Bexar County. And we're able to follow them from pre-K all the way through medical school if they go that far. We can track them into higher ed. And so all of this data allows us to control for variables that are near proxies for self-selection. And it's a complicated methodology, but we're using big data and advanced statistical methods to try to reduce this self-selection bias that is potentially found in all evaluations. But at the end of the day, we have evidence that is better than no evidence.
Sure.
that points us in the right direction and lines up with studies that have already been done that have involved random control trial.
So, Sarah, forgive this dumb question, but how old are the kids the first day they show up for the first time?
Well, they're four, so they have to be four by September 1st of the year.
And what do you expect these kids to be able to do when they walk in first day?
We just expect them to be wonderful children, which they always are, so we're never disappointed. So there isn't – that's the thing about early learning is every child is ready for early learning. Even the phrase kinder ready sort of drives me crazy because every child is ready for kindergarten. The question is, are our schools ready for the children who are showing up? And so that's one of the things about pre-K for us as well is that we have our education centers that serve 2,000 four-year-olds each year, but we also – provide professional learning and grants to programs across the city to improve early learning pre-K through third grade. We want to make sure we have highly skilled teachers in all of our classrooms. We want to make sure schools have the resources they need to be able to deliver that high-quality early learning all the way up.
But you have these master teachers in the classrooms. These are, you know, the cream of the crop of the educators. You carefully select them, and then you also put them through their pre-K for SA boot camp, I'm sure, and get them ready for first day. So is that something that can be duplicated in a mass way across the state?
Absolutely, and that's part of what we're doing with our professional learning specialists. We have 15 professional learning specialists who work with early learning educators in our public schools, our private schools, our parochial schools, and our child development centers to offer them the same kind of training that we have for our teachers at pre-K for SA, because we know that, quite frankly, mediocre pre-K isn't going to change anything. Only high-quality early learning delivers the strong results that we see at pre-K for SA and in long-term studies of other programs. So we're really committed to making sure that San Antonio has a strong pool of high-quality early learning teachers to work with all of our young children across the city.
So we got an email from Randy. Experts in child development agree that ideally kids should run free until their personalities and understanding of being a human firm up around seven or what should be about second grade, slow to catch on and pressured by right-wing economic policies of the past several decades that coerce both parents to work to get by. We provide fancy daycare, also known as kindergarten, in first grade. So I think he's saying that sometimes these institutions are inhibiting children in a way, and we're gearing them towards a certain sort of education, but pre-K is good, but regular daycare could possibly be just as good.
You know, what I hear in that email is if parents would just stay home and not work, or one of them would stay home and not work, and the reality is that that's just not the world we're living in. Parents work, and if we want to bring up the next generation of healthy, productive citizens, residents, then we need to put in place arrangements like pre-K for SA and full-day quality public pre-K so our kids can be in loving, caring environments where they get to run around free and learn from each other and learn from caring adults and be ready when they do reach first and second grade.
And Sarah, what are your thoughts about, you know, our kids being inhibited by going to a structure like this?
If the program is not high quality, it isn't as beneficial, that's for sure. That's why it's so important that it's high quality. But I will tell you, even for my own child, I had all the choices in the world, including I could have stayed home with her myself, but I understood the power of high quality early learning. And so she was able to benefit from a program and today still benefits from having had that experience as a young child.
We're talking about pre-K for SA, evidence-based examination of how are the children doing after going through the program, and what's the future for pre-K for SA. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin. David, we're talking about pre-K for SA. What's the track record? We now have evidence based on a study looking at children who have gone through the program. How are they doing now that they've reached third grade and they have taken the state mandatory test? And they're doing quite well. We're seeing that pre-K for SA is a benefit for these children. But we have to wonder, like, how can we expand upon that, get as much good out of the program as we can and spend as few dollars? That's basically what we got to do in this life, right, with everything we do. So how do we duplicate pre-K for SA in San Antonio, across the state, to help as many families as we possibly can? I have a voicemail. This is from AB.
Hi, this is AB calling in on the subject of pre-K for SA. In answer to your question, yes, I will vote in favor of continue to supporting this program. The reason being, my understanding is that pre-K education is a good predictor of success in school, and I believe that success in school is a good predictor of success in life. And so if somebody can't afford quality pre-K education, I'd be glad to help them.
All right. So AB says he would vote in favor of pre-K for SA. It comes back on the ballot in November of 2020. What would you do? Give us a call. Tell us what your take is on pre-K for SA. 1/8 of a cent sales tax every time you spend a buck here in San Antonio. 210-614-8980. Let's go to Gina on the phones. And Gina, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I'm an ex-pre-K teacher. Pre-K is an intervention program that the government pays for because the children of the poor come in so far below average, they fail. Middle-class children should not need pre-kindergarten because their parents have passed on language to them, and it's not the state's job to take over parenting. So I would not be in favor of pre-K for just the average middle-class kid out there or paying for it. People need to understand this is a program trying to make up for what the parents did not do.
All right. Interesting take, Gina. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's hear from both of our guests. First, let's go to Sarah Beret, Chief Executive Officer for Pre-K for SA. Is that true that it's designed to be an intervention for children who may be, not up to speed?
Well, high-quality pre-K benefits all children. Let's be really clear about that. And the research is very sound in that regard. But it does benefit children who are typically seen as having educational disadvantages the most. As Dr. Villarreal's study showed, that the children who benefit most are children who live in poverty or children who are learning English as a second language. However, all children benefit and continue to see outcomes that are supported if they have high-quality early learning, whether they come from a middle-class family, an upper-class family, or a lower-class family.
And Mike Villarreal?
Well, I want to echo everything that Sarah just said and also underscore the fact that a majority of our young people in San Antonio, school-aged children, are economically disadvantaged. That number is north of 2/3 of the entire public school population is economically disadvantaged.
That's just a description. That's a category that they fall into that's been determined. It's not just you saying that. That is a statistical fact.
It is a measure of who is eligible for a free or reduced lunch at school. And so that threshold is actually pretty low. That income level is really low. And so yet still it captures 2/3 of our public school population. And so there is a significant need to make sure that all of our kids receive high quality pre-K. As Sarah mentioned, everybody benefits, especially the students who are not receiving the rich language environment at home. But it turns out that when those kids receive high-quality pre-K, and then they go to school and they sit in a classroom with other children, middle class and above, that other 1/3, they benefit the entire class. So even the kids who aren't going through public pre-K because maybe they're not eligible, their parents earn too much, they benefit when their classmates who are eligible go through a quality program like this.
Yeah, how does that work? How does, because the kid next to me is smart, I cheat off his paper and I learn, how does that work?
Well, it works in terms of classroom conversation, discussion, engagement between the teacher and the students and across students. Often what teachers have to do is triage and break up their attention because they only have so much time in the classroom with students. And so if they are spending a disproportionate amount of time with kids who are falling behind, then that means less time that can be spent with the kids who show up on day one ready to read. And so this program is a smart program, not just for the kids who go through it, but really for our entire education system.
To the other point that Gina was making, that if you're from a middle class, upper middle class household, then you don't need this program because you learned your colors and your language at home or something. So talk about that, Mike. I mean, is that...
Well, the Pre-K for SA actually takes a wide group of students from different family backgrounds.
Because I'm really interested in
the higher earnings.
Yeah. But I'm interested particularly in the thing about in the study about children who might need special education help. And so that could be in any sort of economic background.
That's right.
So if you have a little bit of trouble, like I do, reading at times, and when you get them in a young age, I would imagine that you're able to help the plasticity of the brain figure things out.
That's right. When you intervene early on with a child whose brain is just developing, and you give them the attention and care that they need to develop, it is a whole lot less costly to introduce those interventions 2 years later, 3 years later. Having high quality full day public pre-K increases the chances of us catching children early on when they need help and setting them on a path in a positive direction. In terms of effects on placement in special education, I mentioned earlier that we saw a decrease in this population by 3.3 percentage points. But let me put it to you in terms of a better number. It's actually a 30% decline. So we expect to see, if you've gone through public pre-K, a reduction in the total population of kids who would have gone into special ed. That number community-wide is just north of 11%. And so that population shrunk from about 11 to 8 percentage points. So 8 relative to 11 turns out to be close to 29% reduction.
And Sarah, do you want to add to that?
Well, to the caller's point that early learning is always delivered in a variety of settings. So pre-K for SA education centers are fantastic, but so are private schools, parochial schools, our public schools, and even home centers. And so pre-K for SA is actually supportive, and we provide grants and professional learning to early learning educators who are in any setting, because parents should have the option to choose what kind of early learning program their children go to, including being educated at home. And we want to make sure that families have high quality options in whatever format they want their young children to learn in.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Greg, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Great. This is Greg. And I guess my concerns are about the immense amount of data that the state controls on the children. And, I'm concerned that the keystrokes my child makes today will have impacts on their lives 30 years from now, say, you know, on the pricing of their insurance or in ways that maybe we haven't even thought of. And there doesn't seem to be much thought put into how the state collects, how they handle it, how they manage it. There's no transparency.
All right, Greg, thank you for that. So, Mike, when in the study that you were doing, when you were tracking the students through these schools, how much access to individual data did you have?
So Greg should feel... he should rest assured that the state actually has put a lot of thought into how it collects this data and how it stores this data. First of all, This data is reported to the state of Texas from public schools in order to run programs like getting reimbursed for providing education services. So the state wants to know who's in attendance. And so there's this huge data collection process that is just centered around making sure schools have the funds they need based on attendance to operate, to hire teachers, to keep the lights on. All these data sources end up rising up to TEA. TEA stores it in a secure data warehouse where the personal identifiers of the students are stripped out. This is big data for sure. We collect everything that gets reported to the state, but what's missing is the name, the address, the social security number of the students. What's left behind is a generic ID that allows us to follow that student across multiple data sets and across time. But in the end, this whole system of evaluation is in compliance with our federal law called FERPA that provides privacy protections that no corporation comes close to respecting.
Yeah, I applaud Greg's enthusiasm for protecting data, but unfortunately, more data is collected from kids when they go online, do computer searches, play Fortnite, than they would possibly ever get from taking these tests and participating in these studies.
In this data system, you have to be a qualified researcher that gets vetted, your projects get vetted, and then in the end, you don't even have access to information that identifies the individual person, but rather their record.
All right, taking a break. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. When we come back, we're really going to drill down on how we can expand the program. What are the options? What's available? Stay tuned. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Pre-K for SA is a full-day, high-quality daycare program available here in San Antonio because the voters in San Antonio said they would pay for it with an eighth of a cent sales tax. What is the future for Pre-K for SA now that we know that it is providing positive, evidence-based results for the children who go through the program? How can we expand on that? 210-614-8980. James is on the line. James, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, James. Go ahead.
I wanted to call in about the woman who said that Pre-K for SA was for disadvantaged kids to help them catch up with the rest of the students. My wife and I were a lower middle class family. I'm college educated. When our kids were young, we worked alternating shifts so that one of us would be home with the kids at all times. They wouldn't have to go into daycare. They were walking. They were speaking ahead of most of their peers. But my son went to a public pre-K and my daughter went to pre-K for SA. They're both doing very well in school right now. And I think, honestly, the pre-K for SA, if I could have gotten my son into that, I think it would have made a big difference in the way he's doing in school now.
All right, James. And real quickly, can I ask you, what do you attribute that? What differences do you see? Can you tell us without telling us too much?
Well, I mean, it's the way they're socialized, the way that they follow directions. My daughter, especially, she's very committed in her class. She got leadership awards in kindergarten for the way she helped her friends. You know, she was well socialized. She got to meet a very diverse group of children that, you know, she wouldn't have gotten to meet at home. They are now in a charter school, which, you know, and again, it's a diverse population. It's a very small school, but it's very well regarded. It's got a lot of awards here in San Antonio.
All right. So, James, thank you so much for that input. So Sarah Beret, Chief Executive Officer for Pre-K for SA, what's your take on James's input?
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. And we hear that a lot from families who had one child that went to another program and then one that went to Pre-K for SA. They can see the difference that it makes when their children have access to high quality early learning. So that's exciting for us. And that's why we're interested in making the program and replicating it, making it available to more families. So we have our four centers that are doing a great job, and now we're beginning to expand and work with our school district partners. We just opened a new site at Gardendale Elementary School in the Edgewood School District, where we have pre-K and K classes. We'll be going all the way up to second grade to create a model early learning program there to make sure that even more families have the opportunity to experience the approach that Pre-K for SA has used so successfully.
So, Mike Vireal, as a former state representative, can you help us understand what came out of the legislature this session in regards to pre-K?
We increased funding for public pre-K, but the program, the funding stream, is allowed to be used for more than just pre-K. So school districts can choose to take the money and move their programs from half day to full day, but they could also use it for other purposes. We hope that our local community school districts expand public pre-K. So more money has been set aside. It hasn't been mandated that it gets spent a certain way.
So the money that's coming from Austin is not going to be enough, or will not take over pre-K for SA.
No. We would have loved to see them, put us out of business, so to speak. Unfortunately, they did not pass a bill that fully funded full day, high quality pre-K for all that need it in San Antonio, and how that looks. Well, first of all, they strictly define who is eligible for public pre-K. And they did not change that definition. And they allowed for more money to be in place so that a school could go from half day to full day, but schools are not required to. They can take that money and use it for other purposes.
Sarah, tell me really quickly the difference between half day and full day. Research has looked at that.
Right. So full day is high quality. It's the very definition. If you are not a full day program, you don't even meet the basic standard of high quality, because young children need that full day opportunity to engage in the research-based play, the kinds of learning experience that help to build the strong skill sets, both academically and socially, that lead to long-term success. And that's with the state, even funding full day, that's just the starting point. It has to be high quality, meaning the teachers have to have specialized training, you have to have an evidence-based curriculum, you have to have support systems for the teachers, and you have to have appropriate assessments for the children. And the funding that the state is providing is great. It's a great place to start, but it's not enough to really ensure it's all high quality.
Okay, phone lines with Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I am a parent of a child who goes to pre-K for SA, and I have a different child who went through a private pre-K program. I think I would definitely vote for expanding pre-K for SA, because as like a middle class family, we're paying for pre-K for SA right now. It's so expensive for private pre-K, and that's the only option. So it's so great to have an affordable option to like give some competition to the market, because right now the going rate is like $10,000 for pre-K, which is crazy. So I think it's right. I'm just excited to be part of the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So that's another thing. Childcare, so expensive for families. It seemed like this is something, if it were done right, this would be an extremely benefit to working families, middle-class families, all across the economic spectrum. Is that, Mike, a thing that needs to be considered, how this would benefit the families if there was a full-time 100% available pre-K type program across the board?
We're hearing a lot of talk about making college free from candidates running for president. Making pre-K free, high quality full day pre-K, would be an even more powerful investment and a much cheaper investment in our children. The amount of funding that is required to make a difference in a child's life at this early age is a small drop in the bucket compared to the profound difference it will make on them into adulthood. If the earlier you start, the greater a difference you can make. And so I think it is smart public policy. It is the most researched education intervention in the world. You can go online and look up research on early education in pre-K, and you will find Nobel laureates in economics who have studied this subject, who have concluded this is the single smartest human investment we can make. And so I think the evidence is clear. We now need to act. And reauthorizing the 1/8 cent set aside is just smart public policy that we will benefit from in so many ways, from improved workforce, decreased crime, lower dependence on public services. This is a smart avenue that we need to continue to take.
So Sarah Beray, Chief Executive Officer for Pre-K for SA, what does it look like? I mean, 1/8 cent sales tax is not a small thing for a city like San Antonio. I mean, there are opportunity costs in saying we're going to put our money here and not there. It's a, you know, asking people to pay for a program that they may never directly be impacted by, you know, because their children didn't go through it, or a family member never went through it. So how are we going to, you know, try to figure out how can we expand this? How do we make the most of it?
Well, now that the legislature is funding or providing more funds for full-day pre-K through the public pre-K programs, that gives us an opportunity to expand our sliding scale tuition program or make slots available to those families that don't qualify for free public pre-K, because the legislature provided funding from half-day to full-day but didn't expand the eligibility categories. So we have a number of families, like some of our callers, who are make too much money to afford or to qualify for free pre-K.
You don't have to be rich to make
too
much money.
Absolutely. And if you're thinking about that, so even up to $65,000, a family making that amount of money can't really afford high quality pre-K in the private sector. So as school districts expand their full day programs, that's going to allow Pre-K for SA to create more high quality seats that are available for those families that don't qualify for state pre-K. And we're doing that through our replication sites like Gardendale and some of the other programs that we're supporting to expand their seats so that more families can benefit.
Other cities have kind of done what San Antonio has had. Seattle, Cincinnati, I think, are two other ones. Are they seeing the same sort of results?
Well, we started ahead of them, and it took us a while to be able to do this study because we had to wait for the children to age.
They say they grow up so fast, though.
So I don't think they've done any evaluations.
Looking at our data?
They are definitely looking at our data, and we've received calls from cities around the country. The mayor's office of Los Angeles has reached out to us to receive an early copy of our study because they are planning their own program. This is a smart investment, smart public policy that I think we will see replicated throughout the country.
And Sarah, what do you hear from other cities?
We talk to other cities all the time. Although there are a number of cities that have early learning programs, San Antonio is doing it in the most comprehensive way. Because, again, it isn't just about our demonstration sites where we serve the 2,000 children. We also provide $4.2 million in grants to other programs, parochial, private, child development centers, as well as a professional learning, as well as a family engagement program. So San Antonio really did it right in taking on a big, bold, comprehensive approach, and that's really why we're seeing the tremendous results that we're seeing. So other cities are trying to figure out how can we do that too.
And it goes back to the voters in 2020, in November, right?
Correct.
And so this evidence will probably be part of the larger debate. I want to thank both of our guests, Sarah Beray, Chief Executive Officer of Pre-K for SA, Mike Villarreal, former San Antonio State Representative and Director of the Urban Education Institute at the University of Texas, San Antonio. This is The Source at Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's News Director.